My name is Tom Landy. I'm the director of the McFarland Center for Religion, Ethics, and Culture at the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, in the United States.
Tell me a bit about your experience of this Jubilee focus on culture that's been taking place for the past week.
Well, the Dicastery for Education and Culture brought a group of us together, among other audiences there, people who are working in cultural centers, both in the arts and in sort of humanities and social science-based understandings of culture, brought us together just to meet with one another, and most propitiously for me, really, to think about the theme of hope.
Tell me about some of the outcome of what you discussed about promoting culture, safeguarding culture in today's day and age.
So the participants in the meeting came from mostly from South America, North America, including Mexico, from Europe. And we talked in particular about a variety of ways that we sponsor programs or research or the like, or artistic exhibits that help people, give people a sense of appreciation for their own culture. I would say that more of the discussion was focused on contemporary manifestations of culture, more than museum-based or historic understandings of culture, more than on heritage. But I think that happened in other kinds of meetings.
Artisans of hope in the field of culture, and culture is a huge field of many facets. How do you think we can do that today in a world which seems to be more and more turbulent with a lot of pessimism, per se, apart from division and polarization? How can we be artisans of hope, especially in the field of culture and Catholic culture in particular?
Well, one of the things I talked about, particularly in the United States, but it drew a lot of nods from people elsewhere, was the degree to which people in my own country are opting for dystopian views of society, are really seeing things as much darker than I would say that they are. They're turning away from sources of hope and sometimes being manipulated, often being manipulated as they do that. I think that any focus on culture for the church is really an optimistic point of view. It's a sense that not only is the gospel incarnated through different cultures, but in fact, to look at culture as something that's a gift from God. And in fact, in our case, looking at it, many different kinds of cultures as gifts from God, and being ready to see that those are places where God is active in the world, can be manifest, and that we can work to improve and change, and that the gospel helps shed light on, but also that those cultures are like creation, they're part of God's gift to us.
How do you communicate that in your own work at the center you direct?
My center does several things, and I talked about two of those. One is that we run a lot of programs primarily for our undergraduate students, for our alumni, people who might watch them on the web, on YouTube, where we engage a whole range of contemporary issues and try to find ways to think about the way that religious thought, Catholic thought in particular, helps shed light on those, helps us think about those, and calls us not to fall into despair. I think the piece that people were particularly interested in at the meeting is an initiative that we've done for about 10 years, which is really focused on helping originally students, but anyone else who looks at it, to really understand the manifold ways that Catholicism lives within cultures around the world. So that's something that began when I was trying to teach undergraduates about Catholicism around the world. And I found that there were few resources for them to understand ways that Italians or Polish or Congolese or Mexican or Argentinian Catholics look differently at the world and practice differently because of the faith that they were in. And I think we developed multimedia resources that are online for that on a website called Catholics and Cultures. We have a Journal of Global Catholicism for scholars that helps do that. And we're really trying to focus attention on the particularities of culture in different countries and sometimes different cultures within different countries, really to help students see the possibilities that are out there. I think that one of the things that can happen to people is that they begin to see a world where whatever is the only thing that they see possible. And I would like young people to look at it and to see their own culture as certainly something that's created and given to them, and that's a heritage that they get. But that's also a series of choices. It's something that's possible to change, to improve, and that there are different ways of going about living and being than they might see in their own culture. So when I'm teaching about that, or the resources that we develop that are online, can help people see all the different ways that people practice Catholicism. I think particularly in a world where Young people may come to see secularization as somehow inevitable as a story. They can begin to look online at other cultures that are industrializing, changing, growing, getting more wealthy, where religious faith and religious practice is much stronger among young people, and they can see those examples for them. So for me, looking at culture is about not only turning to the examples in front of me in my own world, but about understanding other possibilities as they exist and hoping that that will become some impetus for them to not feel themselves locked in or prisoners of a particular culture, but as people who can shape and change it.
Is that what you would call the hopeful dimension you're trying to put in there as well, that's kind of needed today?
Yes, I do think that it's hopeful because it takes away some sense of inevitability about the world. There's a certain powerlessness that I'm hearing now in people about the world, as if things are the way they are. What can we do to change it? Or we have to try something disastrous or some kind of intervention to change it, when I think that really there are ways to build and shape it in new ways. And I also think that it's hopeful because, particularly in the United States, in my own country, there are so many immigrants who bring life and vitality to the church. And that's not really understood about how. I think that if we understood and embraced the different ways of practice that people have and why they have them, what they mean to them, that that can bring a great deal of energy to the church in America, as it does to the church in certainly many countries in Europe that I go to, where African presence or Latin American presence is really has transformed those churches.
I would imagine one of the things in today's society, the pace of change, that's probably some of the reason for the pessimism we find. Would you say that or agree with that?
I sometimes wonder about that. I think of my own grandfather, who was born in 1889, you know, who began, he was a fireman at one point, began with horseless carriages. You know, the changes he went through in terms of connectivity, automobiles to radio, to television, to jets, to seeing the whole world. And I think that the truth is, to be honest, that our world has changed less than that, but I think it's the kind of instant interconnectivity, the way that we use media, the way that messages are disseminated, that's probably changed that a little bit. So what feels like particular change for us probably isn't that much different than we've had for the last 150 years, but we tell ourselves that we're in a different world. I think that we experience that very little seems solid, perhaps. So sometimes people do go back looking for something really solid and truthful. But I'm not sure that's exactly new. It's just that our reaction to it is newer. And oftentimes the reaction that comes to it is anti-cultural or countercultural in ways that are more about turning inward than about really being hopeful and about following the gospel.
Anything else you would like to add?
And frankly, you know, the answer to that question about change, I'm answering that question from the perspective of a North American or a European. Certainly places where I've been in Africa, among the poor in India, if I look at China in the last 30 or 40 years, you know, those are changes that have been enormous. It's simply hard to underestimate, if you take China, for example, how much it's changed in the last 50 years. It's mind-boggling. And that those changes in those parts of the world have been much more significant than in the so-called developed world. Urbanization that's come with that, mega cities that have grown out of it. So those are places where I'd absolutely agree with you. But the irony, I think, is that it's in the developed world that we're reacting to it as if there were a new crisis.